time in our spiritual journey when we feel spiritually adrift. We feel spiritually adrift, like we are not moving forward, we are not going backward, but we don't have any clear direction about where God is leading us. It's as though our vision is blurred. We can't seem to figure out what it is that God is doing. And in that moment, we may have so many questions. And those moments happen, especially when we are going through difficult times, we are going through trials. Those moments of being spiritually adrift can also happen when we become maybe complacent or comfortable in the world. Those moments can also happen when, as I was saying, we have so many trials and it's so hard sometimes to understand the heart of God. And I'm going mostly to focus on the trials, because if you have been living in this part of our country for so long, you know that trials are something that we are so used to, because we have endless wars. After endless wars, then we had this Ebola crisis. After the Ebola crisis, we had the coronavirus, the pandemic that came from all over the world. And then after the coronavirus, as if we didn't have enough, our friendly neighborhood, the volcano, decided to erupt. And so at this particular moment, you may feel like, man, what is it that God is doing? What is this that God is doing? Is it still at work? We may feel like shouting to God like Gideon, where were you when all these things were happening to us? And so it's at this moment that really God is still asking us to trust Him, to trust Him. And why is this God still asking us to trust Him when we are facing such difficult times? And I believe the text for today gives us an idea of how we should react in such moments. Because Christianity is a very beautiful faith. Because the God we believe in is not only a powerful God, an all-knowing God, a magnificent God, an omniscient, He is also a God who decided to come in the flesh and dwell with us. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to trust someone to help me if that person doesn't understand what it is that I'm going through, right? But we have a God who in the flesh felt the things that we are feeling. He went through the things that we are going through. And it is at this very moment that we found Him in this scripture that we just read this morning. And so the scripture says that that day, that evening, Jesus went with the disciple, His closer circle, Peter, James, and John. And at that particular moment, His soul was very sorrowful, even to death. And He told them, remain here and watch with me. So we see God feeling sorrow. We see Him feeling the weight of being overwhelmed by sorrow. And so this is a God that we can learn from, because indeed He has more experience than us about how do we go through sorrows. And so two things that I'd like us to learn from this text, two attitudes on how we can discern God's will even when we are going through times of confusion, times where we don't see clearly. Two things, two postures that we need to take in that particular moment and that we can learn from Jesus. The first posture is a posture of surrender. A posture of surrender. A posture or an attitude of surrender. I remember my first journey from Goma to Nairobi by bus. And that day, it was a Saturday morning. I left Goma and I reached Kigali in the afternoon. And then from Kigali, I had to board another bus to go to Nairobi. And so I was so tired because I had so many luggages. And then when I reached the bus station in Kigali, well, I thought that at the bus station they had people who will take care of my luggage. So I didn't care much about, you know, my luggage and all that. I just boarded the bus going to Kampala, knowing that even my luggage has been taken care of. And so I was so shocked when I reached Kampala at 4 a.m. in the morning to realize that, well, I've reached Kampala, but my luggage stayed in Kigali. I can't even describe what I felt at that moment, because I was in shock. I was like, man, God, what is this that you are doing? What is this? And so that morning, the person who was to host me in Kampala came, and I told him, man, this is what has happened. I just left my luggage in Kigali. Now I really don't know what to do. And so he said, okay, we may call maybe the people at the company, the bus company. Maybe they will know where your luggage is. And so we called and they said, okay, what is your luggage? You know, because when you travel, they put some tickets on your luggage with your passport number. And they ask, okay, is there a ticket in your luggage? I said, yes, and this is my passport number. They said, okay, we are going to check, and if we find, we will send it with the next bus. So stay in Kampala and wait. But while I was waiting, I can't even tell you the questions I was asking myself. Because I was like, man, God, are you really with me in this journey? Because it's so shameful to start such a journey that you are excited about, and then you find yourself at a point where, man, I forgot my luggage, so should I go back to Goma? How am I going to explain to the people in Goma that, man, you know, I forgot my luggage, so I had to come back, you know? And then I fell down on my knees at that moment and prayed. Because one of the things that we need to know is that we don't always have the power to control, but we always have the power to surrender. And at that moment, I decided to surrender to God. I fell down on my knees and prayed. I said, God, you know, you are the one who, you know, initiated this journey. And so please, just do it. Do it. And so it was a Sunday morning. We decided to go to church. And I don't know if it was coincidental, but that morning at church, those guys were singing, God is here, God is here, God is here, He is faithful. We draw near to see Jesus face to face. And so I was like, okay, this is God speaking maybe. And so at 8 p.m. that evening, the second bus came. And, you know, I went to that bus station and saw that company. And they checked, and by God's grace, my luggage was in that bus. And so I just took my luggage and pursued my journey. You know what I learned through that moment, through that trial? It took a moment of trial for me to understand that indeed God was with me, even in that moment. And my attitude of surrender is what really helped me. The attitude, your response. Because to surrender is to give up, you know, our burdens and place them under the control of God. And that's what matters in moments like the one we may be going through. A posture of surrender. A posture of surrender. The second thing, and so we must pray. To surrender always implies praying. We must pray. Jesus was a prayerful man. He is the very Son of God, but He was a prayerful man. The Bible says that He often withdrew to desolate places and prayed. And prayed. So who are we not to pray? The very Son of God Himself was a man of prayer. And so we should pray, and especially pray when we are going through trials, when we are sorrowful, when we are distressed. Those are the moments when we should pray the most. Amen? So that's the attitude or the posture of surrender. And the second posture that we should have if we want to discern God's will in moments like this is a posture of submission. A posture of submission or an attitude of submission. And so submission to what, you may be asking? We must submit because Jesus said in His prayer, if we can read the prayer that He had in this moment, He said, My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And so we see that there's nothing wrong with asking God to spare us from suffering. Because that's the prayer of Jesus. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You know, there's nothing wrong with asking God to save us, you know, to spare us from trials. Yet, but when we ask God to do that, we must also be willing to submit to His will. Let this cup pass from me, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. We must be really willing to place ourselves under the authority of His will. So that's the posture or the attitude of submission. And now, when we talk about will here, what will are we talking about? And I want us to know three things. Is that the will of God, as it is spoken about here, we can know that there is the decretive will of God, okay? And then there is the preceptive will of God, and then there is the permissive will of God. Now, the decretive will of God is the will that's derived from what God decrees. Like when God says, let there be light, that's a decree. When he says, let there be light, light will be. There's nothing we can do to change it. That's the decretive will of God. When God said that the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to give his life as the ransom for many, I mean, that's a decree. Jesus was to give his life. No matter how the process will go, his life was to be given. That's a decree. Let there be light. I am watching over my word to accomplish it. That's a decree. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. That's a decree. Your ways are not my ways. Another decree is that in this world, you will face trouble. I mean, trouble will always be there. And so that's a decree. No matter what we do, trouble is always around the corner. And so Jesus did not promise us a trouble-free life, because that's how things are. And so that's a decretive will of God. And the other will is the permissive will of God. The permissive will of God is the things that God allow to happen. The things that God allow to happen. If you read the book of Job, you can see there's a chat between God and the devil. And the devil is saying that this man is being faithful to you because you have given him so much wealth. And God said, okay, yeah, go ahead and take all his wealth. But don't hurt him. Don't touch him. Right? So that's God. His permissive will of God. And I know this is a very, very difficult pill for us to swallow. It is very difficult. But let me tell you a secret. Let me tell you a very interesting secret. If in your walk with God, you have not met opposition from the devil in a while, it means that you may be headed to the wrong direction. Because the devil doesn't oppose people who are walking with him. It's only when we are walking with God that we find opposition from the devil. And so in his permissive will, he may say, okay, all those who decide to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will face persecution. God can permit that. And yet, we know that it's for our good. It's for our good because we know that we are headed in the right direction. Amen? So, and after that we have the preceptive will of God. The preceptive will of God is the will that comes from the precept of God or his command, what he commands to us in his word. So the preceptive will of God in this particular moment, in this particular context that we are reading from, is what Jesus told his disciples. You know, every time he went to pray, before he left them and go to prayer, he always told them something. He told them, watch with me. Don't be distracted. He told them, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. So in terms of confusion, when we don't know, when we don't see God's hand, we must watch and pray. We must not be distracted. The preceptive will of God in that moment for us is to watch and to pray, to let go of distraction and to focus our mind in prayer, asking God to help us. Amen? And so for the preceptive will of God to happen in our lives, we have to collaborate, to cooperate with God. That's the difference between the prospective and the decretive. Because for God's will, like when God says, go and make disciples of all people, I mean, we have to cooperate with him for that will to happen in our lives. What? Right? So that's the preceptive will of God in that moment. And so the posture of submission, is simply to place ourselves under the authority of God's decretive will in obedience to his precepts. And it's at that moment, in that posture, that we will start seeing clearly. It's at that moment that we'll start seeing that what we are going through, even the pain that we may be feeling, is not purposeless. There's purpose even in our pain. And that's when we will start discerning the heart of God and the mind of God, even in those very moments. I want to end with one thought that came to my mind, because I spend time with many doctors, because I work at the hospital. And the pediatrician, when he want to do a test of lucidity to the on a kid, he pinches them. I mean, hard. He pinches them to know if they are okay, to determine, okay, what kind of treatment do I give? How do I care for this kid? And so there's purpose, even in that pain. And it's the same thing with God. Sometimes we go through the thing we may not understand, but God knows. God knows. And it's so comfort. It's a great comfort for us to know that our pain is not purposeless. It's not coming to us by chance, but God is still at work, even when we are being pinched. Amen? And so let us rise up and pray and just ask God to help us. Because I know that these are very heavy matter, but I pray that God may help us and that He may help us to continue to surrender everything that we are going through into His hands, to continue to submit to the authority of His will, to continue to know that His ways are not our ways, to continue to acknowledge that He is watching over His word to perform it, to accomplish it. And He said in His word that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Even in this very moment, we know that God is with us and He is not going to leave us. He will not going to forsake us because He is surrounding us. Let's come before God in prayer. Father, we come before You because You are so good. Thank You, Lord, for Your word. Thank You, oh God, because You deserve all praise and honor. Thank You, oh God, because You are magnificent beyond our understanding. You are self-sufficient. You are all-knowing, all-powerful. And yet, oh God, You decided to come in the flesh so that we may know You, so that we may come to this beautiful relationship with You, oh God. And it's to You, oh God, that we lay down all our burdens, oh God, in this moment. Thank You, Lord, because Your word is alive, sharper than a double-edged sword. And I know that this word, oh God, will carry us through, oh God. This word, oh God, will continue to help us even in the most confusing moments of life, oh God. Your word will continue to be a light to our feet and a lamp on our way, oh God, we pray. We thank You and we bless You. In Jesus' name, amen.